Today is Thursday, the day we read from your email each week, and obviously much of what we're reading from listeners is about the war, and many have written about our war diaries.
This is from Jim Brooks of Miller's Creek, North Carolina. The reality of war, he writes, is sobering for everyone, and I applaud your efforts to help your listeners make some sense of it all through the War Diaries series. But I want to take issue with last Thursday's installment featuring two differing perspectives from wives who lost husbands in the tragedy of 9/11. By pairing 9/11 victims with coverage of the war in Iraq, you continue the misinformation and misconception that the two events are directly related, that the war in Iraq is connected to Al-Qaeda terrorism. Our president has implied the connection on many occasions, but shame on NPR for implying it as well.
Jonathan Wainscott in Asheville, North Carolina, heard our story on the steady increase in the speed of war reporting. He objected to the statement that live battlefield reports have erased the distance between battlefront and home front. Mr. Wainscott writes, "The instant delivery of images from the war does not deliver the war itself. Rather, a facsimile, which can only cultivate a virtual experience of armed conflict, suggesting that the home front is integrated with the war through embedded reporters, is ludicrous. Does paying an extra $2 for a tank of gas qualify as combat experience?"
And Dan Hicks in Byron, Minnesota, remarked on the story of New York Tribune reporter George Smalley's 10,000-word dispatch on Antietam 2 days after the battle. Mr. Hicks says, "Would that we could have this amount of detail in such short order now. Most TV and radio accounts of the Iraq War rarely go beyond a couple of hundred words, with a few newspaper articles approaching 500. Only when one gets a weekly news magazine and adds up all the war coverage in a week's issue do you begin to approximate 10,000 words. And for this, you have to wait another week or 10 days."
We received several comments praising John Burnett's piece on MREs, military meals ready to eat. Dick Kennedy in St. Paul, Minnesota, thought it brought the reality of everyday living in battle home to us here in the U.S. "I only wish that the late Bill Malden could have been there to capture the scene on paper." Thank you, John, for a great story.
But B.E. Wendling in Rochester Hills, Michigan, thought it was trivializing the war to broadcast, and we quote, "A story on the meals ready to eat that technology-coddled U.S. soldiers find more or less pleasing as they mosey through the Iraqi war zone, wreaking unspeakable havoc on Iraqi civilians and conscripted Iraqi soldiers."
Away from the front lines, Robert Okus in Redwood City, California, wrote to us about a story that he heard on Tuesday's program, and that, of course, was Tuesday, April 1st.
He writes, "I find it difficult to express my level of indignation over the fact that the Library of Congress is wasting time and valuable taxpayer dollars in an attempt to preserve audio recordings using such antiquated technology as 78s. Thus began the letter I was mentally composing in response to your report. Later, I recalled today's date and burst out in laughter at my gullibility. Well done. Perhaps next year you might report on the employment of Dominican scribes as replacements for court stenographers."
Not a bad story idea. We read from your letters every Thursday. Our email address is atc@npr.org. And when you write to us, please remember to tell us where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.